ॐ शुक्लाम्बरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवर्णं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये सरस्वतीं नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणि विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा येनाक्षरसमाम्नायम् अधिगम्य महेश्वरा कृत्स्नं व्याकरणं प्रोक्तं तस्मै पाणिनये नमः वाक्यकारं वररुचिं भाष्यकारं पतञ्जलिं पाणिनिं सूत्रकारं च प्रणतोऽस्मि मुनित्रयम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। महेश्वराणि सूत्राणि ॐ आ इऊं रेलिं एऊं ऐ औच् हयवरत् लन् न्यमङ्गननं जभं गरदश् जबगददश् कपचतथ कपाय शससर ह इति महेश्वराणि सूत्राणि। Great. Okay, let's open up this handbook. This Sanskrit Sunday, page 14. Rule number 11 at the top of page 14. They used to call this the killer rule when I was in. I was studying. This is the rule where we see so often the nakara being replaced by na. I have the nether stroke there, not because it's going to end the word, but any vowel could follow this nakara. It can't end the word, in fact. So I can just go that nakara can be replaced by a nakara, where the is just being used for pronunciation. Okay. This rule applies when the dental nasal doesn't end a word. Like, for instance, in the word Raman, where we have the accusative plural ending, the nakara is ending the word. And so this rule would not apply in that case. But if the nakara has to be followed by a vowel in order for the rule to apply, or to be within a word. Okay? Not just a vowel, to be within a word. All right? Followed by another letter within a word. Okay, so let's look at this. In the English it says, the nakara followed by, sorry, following, let me write this down. So I have to write it. If we have a ra, ra, or sha. Okay. On the one end, and a nakara on the other. So, nakara is following ra, ra, or sha. We'll just leave that like this for pronunciation, ra and sha, for uchanana, okay? Ra, ra, or sha. So, see that? Na following ra, ra, or sha changes to na. The nakara will change to na if it follows ra, ra, or sha. Even if a vowel, which would be uch, okay, a vowel, a semi-vowel, except ha. So what would a semi-vowel be? Hayavarat, lan, yan. Right? A semi-vowel, it should say, except la. What would the pratyahara be for that? Semi-vowel except for la. Hayavarat, lan. What is yet? Hayavarat, lan. Yavara. Semi vowel except la. Okay? Ach, any vowel? Semi vowel except for la. By yet. Okay? What's the next one? Labial. How would we say a labial? Mm-hmm. How would we say a guttural? Just to get used to these putting the abbreviations, okay? So let's look at this. An in following ra-ra-usha changes to nakara. Even if a vowel, semi-vowel except la, guttural, labial, or the letter ha. Just put that. Or the letter ha intervenes. So actually we could have said like this. Hut. What is hut? Hayavarat. So if an uch, a vowel, a semi-vowel or ha, a labial or a guttural, even if any of these intervene, the na will change to nakara. So where's an example? We see this so frequently. Like, for instance, if you have Rama and you're declining Rama with the affix ina. Here you've got the rakara, vowel, a, see, Rama, plus ina for Ramena. Mm-hmm. What's the final form of this? A plus e is a, Ramena. Mm-hmm. Right? So here you've got the repa, which is, you know, rakara is called repa. So you have the repa plus the vowel, a, plus the pu, labial. Makara belongs to the pu, okay? Plus the vowel, na. So these, even with all of these letters intervening, the nakara is still going to change to na. Okay? Another example, these examples are all over the place. What if I have body plus, I think the affix is actually, for this one, make this a ni. Body plus ni. Here it's just much more direct. It's just a vowel. Okay. There's a ra, vowel, na. And this is not ending the word. The other example I told you, what would happen to say if we had the word ashwa plus the nama to front plus on, the accusative plural ending? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Forgot about the R, I'll use wrong one. Ends the word.
Right.
So it's not going to go to it won't go to
the chart doesn't say anywhere that no cannot end the word. Right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm just putting this chart up just for your use to say even if these letters are intervening, this na will still go to na. As long as it doesn't end, as long as it doesn't end the word, okay? So we'll see the sutras for this, but now look at the example. Two examples. Rama plus ina, Ramena. Ina is the third person plural affix for the vibhakti, instrumental. And for hari, a is the affix actually, but it takes the nakara, so it becomes na, hari plus dental na. In that case, the na has to change to na because of the ra. Harina. Everybody see that? Are the examples clear? Okay, you okay with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you hold on 1 second, please?
Yeah.
You know, I see it when you point it out, and I see it when I study the rule, but how the heck do you see it when you're reading?
You know, you get used to seeing the dental na and na interchanging with each other. And so if you see, say you see a nakara, you can always look for that rule. It becomes kind of an obvious thing once you know the declensions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you'll see it in... You see, when you see a nakara in reading, It'll automatically convert in your mind down to a dental.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody have what they need here? Let's go to the next one. This is a really important rule because it's sneaky. You know? It's a sneaky one. You know why I'll show you some reasons that it's sneaky in a minute. This one goes like this. If you have a na or na, any of these three, na is what the kanta, na or danya, na danta, danta dia. Okay, any of these three, if it's preceded by a short vowel, that's the key. It's preceded by a short vowel and followed by any vowel. Short vowel on this side, any vowel on this side. Then it doubles. So any one of these nasals, preceded by a short vowel and followed by any vowel, it'll double. So look at final word that ends in the na. Final na or na are doubled when they occur after a short vowel and preceded by any initial vowel. So this is external sandhi. So how to make that clear? A final na or na that's preceded by a short vowel followed by any vowel doubles.
Otherwise known as the double nasal sandwich.
So let's the one that's going to come up all of the time is this nakara. These will usually be changed in Sunday, but nevertheless, these three are included in the rule. Okay, the one you're going to see all the time is the nakara. Okay. So let's look at the examples, and I'll show you where this can become a problem if you don't know the rule. Stuba means singing. Agachati, he comes. While singing, he comes. Or praising. Agachati. Okay? Stuvan agachati. This is going to double. It'll be written like this. Stuvan agachati.
Because now it's preceded
by a short vowel. The nakara here, which ends the word, is preceded by a short vowel,
But when is it not going to, only if it's a consonant, when is it not going to be preceded by a short vowel?
Or it could be preceded by a or e.
Oh, okay.
It right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And also, remember the diphthongs are considered dirga.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now, look at this. Stuvan nagachati, right? How else could this break? If I were to break this sandhi, how else could it break?
Oh, with a th meaning?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Stuvan nagachati. The first word we know. Why don't I want to do that one?
Oh, ooh and um.
Mm-mm. Here we know this word, stuvan. We know the word agachati. Agachati means comes. Stuvan agachati. How would this, if I were to write this, how would I write it? He doesn't come. While singing, he doesn't come. Okay? How would I write this? How would I put that sandhi together? Exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. If you don't know this sandhi, you have to read it like this.
Right.
Right? And so, usually, because of context, it is absolutely clear what it means. But what if you don't know the sandhi?
Then you'd be reading exactly the opposite.
That's right. You see that? Because the sandhi is always going to be like that.
Mm.
If it's followed with an a or an om, it's going to be like that, right? Mm. If this word follows, that's coming here, starts with an a or an om.
Because the noun is always clear in context, you know, if it's a novel or something, if it's Vedanta, probably it is. But
it won't happen very often, right? Actually, it has to be followed by an ah. Now look at this. What if I said like this? Stuvan Agachat. The word Agachat is the past tense, and it means he went. Stuvan Agachat. Stuvan Nagachat. Short vowel, any vowel. This has to double. Could this, the way that this is written, could this be Stuvan Nagachat?
Yeah. It couldn't be because it's followed by.
If it was Stuvan.
Right, there's no following.
This would have to be ah.
Yeah.
Right? This would have to be an ah here, because otherwise you would have na plus a. See the word, the two words that we're working with here. And these are the two words. Went. Singing, he went. This has to double, because you've got a short vowel on this side and any vowel on this side. So this has to become like this. Stuvan, right? No. Then this has to send you with this. This reduplication has to send you with this. It's going to stay short.
Yeah.
Right? You see that? And so this is not going to be a problem for you. This one will be a problem. Because this one, this possible combinations are that possible, that sandhi is possible there. Let's look at another example. Hassan, Eva. Short. Hassan Neva. Short. No possibility of a mistake there. Right. So the mistake, the problem is really going to be only with the long ah. Only with the long ah. And why is it that a problem? Because of the word na.
Yes.
Right?
Because it means na.
Yeah, especially because of the word na. Right? And I've come across it a lot. You know, so.
Have you ever been confused?
Probably. Yeah. But if you have that sandhi, you don't think it's what, you know, you would become confused if you don't remember that sandhi. You remember this?
You would say why? Did say no? And it should say yes.
Yeah, and why is the reduplication there? Just it doesn't make sense. Like even if you see this Hassan Neva, well, how are you going to break that? So you don't know the sandhi. Hassan Neva.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to know there's some, for some reason there's a reduplication there. So this is the rule for that. Okay.
And that would never be Hassan na Eva.
Why not? What would that be? Hassan na Eva would go like this.
Yeah.
Hassan A plus E is what?
Eva.
A.
Yeah.
A.
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 Eva.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
And if I had Hassan na Eva? Comes a lot. A and I. Because Eva and Ava.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A plus A is I. Right? A plus E is A.
We've seen that.
Definitely. All the time. Even Iva. Even Eva come all the time. Right? Okay?
Let's do it. Can we do it now?
We're going to have to look it up, though, because I can't...
That would be so weird.
We've seen it. I know. I can't think of the words. Let me look it up at the break in the Sandhi Chandrika. Then we can take a look at that. The Nakara is the one... One of the reasons the Nakara will come all of the time, the dental na, is because in the present participle, going, coming, running, walking, the nominative singular... In the masculine, is this. Gachan, un, right? Bodhan. So that unending is pervasive because also the present participle is used a lot. There'll be other reasons too, but that's the one that I think of all of the time.
Stupid question. Is gachami?
Gachami.
If it's something that ends in me. That is considered a final
na? No, final na means it actually has no vowel following it. It's the final of a word.
Okay.
It's the final of a word.
So gachami is not a final na. The final one there is e.
That's right. So and that wouldn't count anyway because it's only these two.
No, I understand.
Yeah, the final means it's the end of a word not followed by a vowel. That's the word final. Okay. So the word final gachami is e.
Yeah.
Okay. Ramena is a.
Right.
Raman is nakara. Clear for everybody? Okay. I think it'll be really helpful for us. We'll just kind of learn these rules now. But when we do the sutras, we're going to also go through the Sandhi Chandrika, which has tons of examples. I think that'll be really enjoyable for you. So let's go to 13. Oh, this is the makara. This is the general thing. The top is just the general rule. Makara followed by any consonant. Okay? Any of the consonants goes to anuswara. But there is also option. So now I want to go through each one of these and give the option, okay? So this is the Anuswara Sandhi rule, and it's pervasive. So let's... Because how often do we see Anuswara?
Here it also says Anuswara. I'm so not used to hearing... Is it... Do we
Anuswara.
Is Anuswara?
That's probably because I say Anuswara. Anuswara. Okay, let's look. Let's read it first, and I'll write it on the board. When the makara, followed by a consonant, changes to anuswara optionally, okay, final makara, when followed by a consonant, changes to anuswara optionally, and necessarily when followed by sha, sha, sa, and ha, okay? When it is not changed to anuswara, it is changed to the nasal of the class of the following letter, and to the nasal semi-vowel, nasalized semi-vowel, when followed by yavala respectively. So I want to write these in a different way. Okay. Let's just go through. We're going to go through the makara, followed by ku, tu, tu, tu. And poo. Okay. This is optional. Optional nasalization, the nasalized ku, which would be what? What's the nasalized? What is the nasal of the ku group?
No.
So just take all of the take all of the nasals. Aniswara. Okay. So option. If you have a makara, word that ends in M like Ramam, right? Harim, Gurum, so many words, Dhyam, so many words, declinables, end in a makara. If it's followed by any of the sparsha letters, ku, chu, tu, tu, or pu, it optionally takes the nasal of that group or goes to aniswara. Okay? Next. The shal group. Shal, shesha sarah hal, right? The pratyaharas, the shal group. Aniswara only. No option. Taking all the boardroom. Does everybody have this? Okay. So option, no option, semi-vowel. Except for ra. Hayava, hayava ra. We don't have a pratyahara for it. For that. So you have to just say ya ra la. Option, nasalized semi-vowel, or aniswara. You should just see the aniswara. In most fonts, they go for the simplest. You often don't see the nasalized. Some of the older texts that I have will always use the nasalized semi-vowel, so you have to know about it. So option there. So that explains the pervasive use of the aniswara. Everybody okay with that?
Because a lot of words end in ma.
So many words end in ma. And we'll also see there's an instance in the nakara word for the dental noun where it goes to aniswara plus the sibilant. We'll see that then. So many of the bhakti endings. Right. Okay for everybody? Can I erase it? I need the nod. Okay, this is the one I'm really glad to be teaching now, number 14.
Can I ask a stupid question before we go to 14?
Yeah.
So the nasalized...
Oh, go ahead.
About the nasalized semi-vowel.
Yeah.
So they take the nasal, it's like young, young, what's that, young?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it takes the nasal of the class.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. And if a ra comes after the ma, then nothing happens?
Aniswara. If a ra comes after ma, it should just go to aniswara.
Where does it say that?
It doesn't. Just the M followed by any consonant. But it changes to, it says the final M, when followed by a consonant, changes to aniswara.
Okay.
Yeah. When it is not changed to aniswara and is changed, it is changed to the nasal of the following letter and to a nasalized yavala when followed by yavala respectively. Rafa is left out. That means it only goes to aniswara.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have a nasal following, right? It doesn't have a nasal of the group. That's only from ku through pu.
Yeah.
The sibilants are necessarily and only these three nasalized semivowels. So not the repha. Repha will only go to anuswara.
Okay.
Let's just on page number 13, let's read through those examples and tell me if you have any problem. We'll go for the first one already. Yam hi goes to yam hi necessarily, goes to anuswara necessarily, right? Purusham same necessarily, because shal. If a makara is followed by a shal, which is the sibilant plus ha, it necessarily goes to the anuswara. See that? Next line. Sam gachati. This is adding an upasarga prefix to the word gach. Gachati. Goes to sam gachati or sang gachati. Sang gachati. So it can be written either way. It should be pronounced sang gachati. Yavanam jara. That's what group is that? Chu. It's the chu group. Yavanam jara. Aniswara or nya. Yavanam jara. We don't usually say yavanam jara. It's going to take the nyakara. Yavanam jara. But it can be written either way. Third line. Dhanam dadati. Optional. Dhanam dadati. Keeps the aniswara or the nakara. Dhanam dadati. Okay? Next one. Yam yanta. Sam yanta. Sang yanta. Everybody see that? Either the anuswara or the nasalized yakara. Next line. Yam lokam. Yam lokam. Yang lokam. Anuswara or nasalized lakara. Okay for everybody? Let's go to 14. A mute is a sparsha letter. The sparsha letters are ku through pu. Right?
Mutes.
Yeah.
Do or do not include the semi vowels and.
These don't include the nasals. I don't think in this example. Initial ha, after a final mute, optionally changes to the soft aspirate of the preceding mute. And the mute will change to the third of its class optionally. Let's take this as an example. Then I'll write the rule.
So both of there's two-part option here, right?
Yeah, there is. Oh, dear. Eta, what do I use? Hadati. Hakata. Followed by a hakata. First thing to note, this is hard, this is soft. Hakata is soft. Right?
Hakata is soft.
Hakata is soft.
So the first thing that you have to do to know is that this is going to go to, just by regular sendi, etad harati. Hard, soft, this has to go to the third. The takara has to go to the third of the class. Hakara doesn't involve the tongue at all, so there's no problem, etad harati. But what will often happen is that this ha will go to the fourth of the class, where the fourth of the preceding letters class as an option. So you can have Eted Hadati or Eted Dadati. And in fonts, they almost always do this option. So look at how it's written here. An initial ha, for instance, Hadati is one, but you know the word that comes all of the time is the word he. Mm-hmm. He means because, or it means like Eva, indeed. It's in all so many shlokas. It's also a filler. Some of these short words, like he, Eva, cha, upi, they have meanings, but sometimes they have no meaning except to fill the shloka. They have no significant meaning, but it fills the rhythm of the shloka, so it's put in there. He is very frequently there. So, for instance, you'll see this. Taddi. Or taddi. All the time. This D is going to be seen so often. Okay? So look at the, let's read it again, okay? The initial H after a final mute optionally changes to the soft aspirate of the preceding mute. And the mute will change to the third of its class, optionally. That last optionally should be taken off. Because I already have one optionally. Take the optionally at the end of the sentence off.
Oh.
Okay. So let's look at the examples just to see. Etet Hadati, the one that I have on the board. First thing to note, hard consonant, soft consonant. It has to go to the third because it's followed by a soft consonant. Okay? So, Eted Hadati. That's the normal, Sandhi. That's option number one. Option number two is that the H will go to the third of its class. The third of this letter's class. So, Eted Hadati or Eted Dadati. Eted Hadati. Eted Dharati. So that means if you have a word that ends in ta and a word that that begins in ha, this is either going to go to this or this. Third and fourth letter, or just go to the third and the ha. The other one that you're going to be seeing a lot, rather than the dental, is the k, because letters can end in a k. For instance, the word vak, which means to speak. So say if I have this, vak. What word do they? Vak plus he. Vak to speech. Vak plus he. Hard, soft. What's the third letter of vak? The ku group?
Ga.
Vak he. What's the option?
Ga.
And of course, that's going to send you together as in the writing, it'll look like this. And now, what I'm pointing to, see, this is ga, so vag hi or vag gi.
So it almost makes sense in pronunciation when you add the ha to the.
Yeah, exactly, because the aspirate, you know. So now. In some cases, this option, the first option would be followed, but I'm saying in the fonts that I've seen in all of the books that I have, they almost always use this option. And so you want to be clear on that.
Carol, if you had to write the rule out, how would we write it? Like in a, could we write it in like a
In what? As what?
In like a table, you know how you put the other ones.
A formula.
A mute plus ha goes to the third, and fourth mute optionally. The mute goes to the third.
Okay.
Okay.
Just like that.
Yeah, the mute goes to the third, and the ha goes to the fourth optionally. I don't know how to do it better than that. We could work on it.
Okay.
You could work on it and come up with a little formula.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused, but the mutes do only include the ku, tru, fu, but not the semi-vowels and the sibilants? Or they do? They do, right? Because of their...
You know what? I don't think so, because in this rule, the semi-vowels and the sibilants, they don't have a third. You know?
Right, that's right.
So it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he is also the only sibilant.
That's right. The other siblings are all hard, only he.
Yeah.
All are aspirate, but the shar, shasasara, they're hard, right? And he is soft. So these aren't going to include the nasals. They're only going to include the first through, first ka, ka, ga, ka, right? Not nga. The nga has its own set. The nakara has its own set of rules. We went through a lot of those last week. Are you okay with this? Okay, we'll see this in more depth when we do the, or more depth in a sense. At least you'll see the sutras that make this happen. Can I erase it? Let's go to 15. This is an important one, too. This is the rule where you see the sakara so often going to a sha. The sakara is often going to the lingual shakara or danya. Like, for instance, in the nam, this is where you'll see it so frequently. In the nam, in the locative plural, for the vibhakti, the affix is su, right? So you would see sita su, right? But rame shu, guru shu, right? Also, say if I had the word vak, plus the affix su. What would I see? Oops, sorry. Locative plural affix. Yeah. Vakshu. What is this made up? So vakshu. So there's going to be many instances where this changes to sha. Right? So I want to show the rule for that. Let's take a look at it. The sakara changes to shakara when it follows any vowel except r, a, a guttural, or ra. Okay? So let's write that down in a little bit of code here. So here's this. Sa, the sakara goes to sha. Okay? When? When any vowel except r, a, what would that be? Itch. The pratyaharic itch. A guttural, ku. Or rafa, rakara. Did I leave something out? So changes to sha when it follows any vowel except r, a guttural, or the rakara. Okay. So we'll change to sha.
Okay.
two examples I put on here. Vak pasu, vakshu. Hari pasu, harishu. So it's really in that so often where it's going to come all of the time is in that locative ending. But also when you start learning conjugations other than the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth, all of the other conjugations will have affixes, have the affixes sometimes added directly onto a vowel, onto a consonant. And so this type of thing can come up. Remember that we've learned in the conjugations, the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth conjugations?
So everything that we haven't learned, this happens a lot.
Yeah. That happens a lot. But why we learn the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth first is because those gamma signs are and aya, respectively. All of them end up, all of the gamma signs end in a. And that makes for similarity in sandhi, the way that the terminations are added on to them. But when the gamma sign becomes something else, like in the second gamma, there is no gamma sign at all. And so now for all of the verbs that end in a consonant, you're going to have consonant sandhi when you're adding on affixes that begin with a consonant, such as si, gacchasi, right? You go. So sometimes that si is going to change to shi, like that, depending upon the root. So anyway, there's plenty of instances for this sa to go to sha. What happens, this is something I think, before I really taught these sandhis thoroughly, what I would tell you is be prepared for this na, the nakara to be a nakara. Be prepared for a sakara to be a shakara. Or to watch these be interchangeable. Also be prepared for a first letter to change into a third letter and vice versa. Right? So those type of changes end up just being very spontaneous in your mind. You're used to seeing a first or third letter depending upon whether the letter that follows is hard or soft. Right? If the word begins with a vowel or a hard consonant, you're going to see the preceding preceding sparsha letter turn into a third letter. So that's the hard soft rule. That's so you get used to.
Yeah, I'm getting confused. In the vakshu example, is it so it changes to show when it follows any vowel except a guttural? Follows a guttural.
No. The sa changes to sha if an ich precedes any vowel except there or a guttural precedes. Or a repha proceeds. It's not.
Oh,
it's,
sorry.
You got it mixed up.
Yeah, I got it.
These are allowed.
Right.
The itch means any vowel except R.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Ku is a guttural. Repha. Rakara.
Yeah.
Hayava rat. You could say rat. No reason.
Yeah. So when it follows a guttural, I'm going to follow.
Yeah. Okay, for everybody. How are we doing time once?
And then, so in the hari plus su, it changes to hari shu, not because of the ra, but because of the e. Okay.
That's right. Because any vowel except r, a causes that change.
Where
the nakara one?
It is there, right in your foot. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll do this last one and then afterwards and then move on to the text. Because I want to spend a little time doing some quizzing and then and have Bill be able to show what. So I'd like to stop now. I've got enough, done enough.